All right, welcome back to another edition of the Daily Dots here on Tuesday, April 16th, and it's going to be Chase flying solo with you again today as Zach enjoys the Florida sun. I don't think I have a whole lot today, so I think this one might be a little bit short, but I'll run through what the markets did, the data, naturally what Chairman Powell had to say today, a little bit more. The S&P was pretty flat, like barely down. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, while small caps are down about 0.2%. Mag 7 down 0.2%. Vol kind of had a pretty decent down day. We stayed really pinned flat all day, so that let some vol come out, down about 5.5% on spot vol. Commodities also flat. Oil flat, noticing a pattern here. Gas prices at the pump were up about 0.3%, though, and we're up 17% year-to-date for the prices at the pump on gasoline. Gold up 1%, although miners could not get off the ground today. That goes for pretty much all miners, gold, silver, uranium, copper, tough day. The dollar was up 0.1%. The regional banks were down about 0.9% and now down 12% on the year, but judging by the macro picture, I personally think that can get a good bit worse before it gets any better. And of note to me, 60/40 portfolio, as derived by the Bloomberg 60/40 index, is only up 2.6% on the year at this point. So that is not great. Bond yields were up 4 to 6 basis points kind of across the curve, and the 2-year actually went and hit 5% on the day, ended up a little lower than that, but while Powell was speaking, they were able to push up to the 5% mark. At last check, we had only about 40 bips worth, a little over 40 bips worth of cuts remaining for the rest of the year. So you're under 2 cuts left in the pricing. As far as sectors went, rates up smash real estate yet again and utilities. Energy didn't have a very good day. Tech had a bit of a bounce back after a very bad day, very bad couple days, really. But staples beat discretionary again, which they've been doing a lot lately. So still kind of had some risk off internal vibes. Powell today talked with some Bank of Canada folks. Honestly, nothing too big there. But he did go out of his way to say that they would keep rates steady as long as they were needed. And he said the recent data has clearly not given us greater confidence, and it's kind of made it clear they're going to hold here for a while. I kind of took this as that he pretty much punted any cuts until fourth quarter at best, you know, barring some sort of negative shock that requires rate cuts before then. He said, given the strength of the labor market and the progress in inflation, it is appropriate to allow restrictive policy further time to work and let the data and the evolving outlook guide us. So sort of similar to the rest of Fed speakers of late, that's basically just a big message of patience. Like, oh, we still think inflation is going to come down, and we still think we can probably cut this year, but you know, we're in no rush now. So I saw Nick Timorios had a piece out today sort of outlining the fact that any maintenance cuts, any cuts just because, you know, preemptive cuts, those are out. Like, that's not happening anymore. Because they have to sit back and wait to get a lot more proof. Embarrassingly, in my opinion, Mary Daly was out yesterday evening saying that the neutral rate really hadn't gone up. Her estimate of R-star was between 0.5 and 1%, which I'm sorry, like, that to me is just asinine. The real 2-year rate has been over 2 essentially for the last year and a half, and you still have growth and inflation well above trend, well above normal, well above, you know, the Fed's appetite. So 18 months of being stuck around 5% on nominal rates and 2% on real rates, and you still think R-star is under 1%. I can't wrap my head around that. And I have been expecting, and I'm still expecting, a capitulation from the Fed on the fact that the neutral rate is higher. Call the nominal neutral rate, you know, well above 2.5, and then R star well above 1, I'll say, or at least over 1. As for the data today, we had housing starts and permits, and those came in both below expectations, a good bit below expectations, especially on starts. Both were revised up higher from last month, though, at the same time. We also had industrial production, which came in right in line with expectations, although last month was revised higher. And then capacity utilization, same thing, like right in line with where you thought it was. Manufacturing production, however, revised up last month and beat expectations today. And when you kind of look at housing starts, it was the worst print, the worst month over month print since May of 2022. And you're kind of on the post-COVID low. So the rates are starting to kind of reach out and touch housing again. I think if you put in a new lower low on those starts, that's when maybe we can start looking for residential construction to become an issue, especially because multifamily starts are already, I mean, those are falling off a cliff. Like that's an ugly, ugly number. So you've been kind of held up by single family, and even that is kind of starting to gap down. Permits, same thing. You had a negative number month over month, but not as like bad, like a kind of multi-year low. But if you just kind of drew a line on the 2022 to 2023 trend higher in building permits, and then we kind of broke that trend line this month. So in that respect, permits aren't great either. Like I say, construction jobs, I mean, they've been very, very strong, very robust. Yes, some of that's like manufacturing, construction jobs, things like that. But even looking at residential, if you do a building permit and lead time of, say, 18 months, and then you look at jobs, like that is suggesting you can start to leak lower on those construction jobs, which we still consider to be a crucial part of any like real weakening in the economy. If you don't get construction jobs rolling over, it's just going to be really, really difficult to have any substantial weakness. The market's pretty flat today. We've had we've broken the uptrend lines and all the indexes. We've had a rough, call it week, but you're still really not down that much. So it's not, I mean, there's no reason to get all worked up here. After watching the action on Friday and Monday, I kind of assumed that systematic positioning, so think of CTAs, risk parity, vol control funds, I figured that would have, had been in like at least a reasonable, 2-3% drawdown, 4% drawdown or something. At least as of yesterday, Goldman Sachs data suggested that the systematic positioning was basically still at the highs for 2024. And those highs of 2024 go all the way back to the highs more or less of 2021. So you're talking very stretched long positioning for systematic investors. And that continues to be my concern, that you go low enough to kind of hit those tripwires where all these people have to sell, and naturally they'll all be trying to sell to each other at the same time. I was a little bit surprised that we hadn't already done that, and it leaves me a little concerned that we could still do that. We have like a VIX expiration tomorrow that, holds the capacity to kind of break it to the downside, but absolutely, and maybe more than 50% chance, holds a bit of a capacity to have you kind of slingshot forward. So I would be on the lookout for that. Going back to, Powell kind of coming around, rate cut bets being under 2 after being at 7, the Bank of America Global Fund Manager survey came out, and people are really coming to our side of the boat here fast, whether that's the people that are expecting a soft landing, just that number's ripping. People expecting high growth, that number's ripping. People that are cashed up, nobody is holding the cash anymore. So whether it's stronger economy, saying a recession is unlikely, saying that we're going to have a boom, all these or Goldilocks, like all these sort of measures that they kind of ask people every month, like it is all just roofing at the moment. We saw where they're kind of positioning their for the cash level and equity allocation. You're at the most bullish stance you've been since January of 2022. So I do find it notable that everyone decided to kind of capitulate and get all bulled up on stocks and the economy kind of right when we broke the uptrend line and right when the Fed at least punts. I'm not going to say they've capitulated because they haven't. When they start talking about how everything's changed and the neutral rate's higher, like that's when they've capitulated. So I already want to start messing with you know, buying 2-year treasuries, things like that, to kind of bet on it going the other way and more hikes getting priced. But I'm trying to hold back and let this kind of go even further. And I think the real signals will be capitulation, even more so for investors, like where everyone's going out and shorting bonds and getting a little more afraid of equities, maybe betting on inflation bets. So a lot of like oil and just commodity longs in general, which we've already started to see like the positioning building there, which makes me uncomfortable because we have a good bit of commodities. But being able to like sell some commodities and then buy some, like, you know, exposure to the economy rolling over, I could become more important. But the thing I really want to see for that is the broad equity market to not, you know, be down 2-3%. Like, yeah, that looks kind of bad because the trend line gave way, but I mean, grand scale, it doesn't look that bad at all. Like, but once you get over a 5% drawdown and it feels like there's some momentum to the downside, that's where, to me, you at least start, you know, putting some of that on. As everyone comes to my side of the boat, I like to start really checking out the other side to see how the weather is over there. So I cannot help myself, and I'm just already there to an extent. I think that was really about it that I had on the day. Those were the most pressing things that kind of popped out to me. But we will definitely have more tomorrow. So stay tuned. And remember, you can download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com. Cheers.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.